This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Remember when that time that Steve said the best decision he ever did was to hand it over to us? Because then the show comes out on time.
And then YouTube made the decision to kick me out. Yeah, I remember that.
That didn't actually work. It was harder than herding cats, because at least you get some cats.
Well, if this is the intro to our show, the chaos will probably make sense. But I think Andrew should open with an apology to our listeners, because he promised a steady schedule. And here I've been collecting dust, sitting in my chair waiting for you assholes. And what are you doing, Marvel podcasts, of all things? What do you have to say for yourself, Andrew? You promised us a steady schedule.
Welcome back to Indie Comic Book.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
This is your podcast for everything independent comics. We're part of the Deliberate Noise Network, found wherever you get your podcatching at. We have a website, Indie Comic Book Noise, where you can get past archived issues, or episodes, I guess is what you call them. And it goes past the buffer that I think iTunes only has the last whatever, but you can go back all throughout history at the website. And we also have a Twitter handle, Indie Comic Book N, because we ran out of room for oys. And joining us today after our summer hiatus is me, Andrew the LA Rabbit, WWS Kev up in Canada. And the firebrand you heard was Phil the Ottawa Otter.
The calm one, the reasonable one.
So, boys, we're back after some hiatus. I'm sure everyone's forgotten who we are, what we do, but Indy has a proud tradition of taking time off. We follow the Image Comics publishing model.
Wow.
What do you mean? Name me books that they're late. I've never have all their books. Whenever they're not going to come out, they always tell me, okay, we're taking a 2 month break, like at the end of the issue kind of thing.
Yeah, now.
Young Blood,
now.
Prophet. Yeah.
What about Image United?
What about, okay, name me newer stuff that's been in the last year.
Nothing I can think of that slipped
exactly.
Like a
they're
huge
doing
amount.
Pretty good right now. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Or classic Image,
and
Phil.
Speaking
classic.
Of which, a couple shows ago, or last show, Andrew, you said you were wondering what Robert Kirkman was writing since Invincible ended. It turns out I was reading some books he's writing, Oblivion by Image.
Oh, I picked that up. I don't
and
remember
also,
it.
And also, he just had a new one this week called Die, Die, Die. So, so he is doing some books, but it's not as, like... I didn't know he was writing Oblivion until issue 4.
Is he still like, writing Outcast?
It doesn't seem like him. I think Outcast is still going, yeah.
Okay.
I think
Thieves, so, yeah, Thieves is still going, but I don't think he's writing that anymore.
I think that came back because I think it was stopped for a while.
Okay.
Because the numbering's not very high.
Yeah. Well, high, not high is relative. I'm sure in Image terms it's pretty high.
I think Hollywood has ruined him, though, because, like I said, I couldn't tell it was him. Like, it's just not the same quality I'm used to with Invincible, especially.
They're doing, is it Amazon? Yeah, Amazon's doing, like, an hour-long Invincible thing, which I think is weird, because...
I thought it was going to be a movie.
I thought it was a series.
No, when they announced it, it was a movie. It was supposed to be.
Then why were people talking about like half an hour? It seems weird they would do an hour instead of a half hour.
Well, I guess they switched it to a TV show then.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. It's been too long.
We could vouch for that.
Well, this is a lot like a Marvel Noise, a related show, except as you heard in the beginning, we may say some things that are going to be somewhat hurtful, but not intentionally. Just inadvertently.
Should we apologize to Kevin now?
Apologize to our listeners.
It's not for the easily offended, gentlemen. So if you are easily offended, well, I don't want to repeat the opening intro, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I've been to several cons. You might have even been to several cons that's been that long since then, since the last recording.
I don't know. Where have you been?
I don't even remember, but I know... I know I've sold some comics at cons. I think it's TCAF and then selling some comics con.
Well, we have talked about the Comics Revolution show and the Albany Comic Show in Indie Comic Book Noise 405. So, you know, we've got that going for us. And then our last blast was Free Comic Book Day.
So I did go to TCAF then after Free Comic Book Day.
Well, tell us all about it. What is this Toronto Comic Arts Festival? And why should we give a damn?
Because there's people buying indie comics, all sorts of indie comics. Those comics that no one buys in certain comic shops, people buy those at that show, and weirder stuff than that. Any type of comic, pretty much. Although they didn't have... remember last year they had the
live... German cat one? What? Called Meow Meow? You talked about a German cat one called...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
I remember that one. It stuck with
you were
me.
Here for that one?
Yeah. I'm here the most.
I don't know. Sometimes Andrew and me go off on some tangents where we don't even talk about comics, really, for like an entire hour.
Hey, it's about indie-related properties. It doesn't have to be comic books, you pedant. In fact, your convention isn't a comic book, and we're talking about that.
I know, that's what I mean. We had two convention episodes. Anyhow, before they had the live drawing, like, off-site, and this year they didn't have an off-site live drawing image pavilion type of place. They had, like, a zine fest type of thing in another building this time, which was different. And then most of my crew wasn't there. They were busy. Like, I think there was only like one other person. Oh, then Gobo. I ran into Gobo, which is good.
Yeah, he's always fun on Twitter. But there was a big zine thing here, but I didn't go. I find the zine thing not really compatible with comic books. So,
well, the zine stuff I don't have that kind of money. Yeah, it sort of gets into, like, other type of things, too, like crafts and prints and posters and like, other photocopied stuff. So it's not, like, pure comic book stuff.
Bring your wallet if you're going to one of those things. Those will set you back.
I thought of you. What when people are hawking their $20 10-page comics?
How many of those did you buy?
Zero. I mean, it's going to be a hardcover or something going on if I'm paying $20. Like, that's not going to happen. I did buy a lot of mini comics, though. Maybe if it was a full-size comic, it would be up to $20. But when it's less money, you're more than willing to buy some stuff, right?
Yeah, if it's packaged the right way. Where you feel like, oh, this is cool and I'm digging it. It can lure me in, even if it's a little pricey, but it has to be pretty well put together.
Mm-hmm. And I got an Atomic Robo hardcover.
Oh, cool. What storyline was it? The first one?
No, it's The Ring of Fire.
I don't think that's one of the newer ones. If so, I haven't read it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I might as well. If it's Gobo approved... You pretty much have to get it. Mm-hmm. And then I got one of those. It's like some an adaption. Some Japanese stuff too. The Troublemakers. That's put out by Retrofit.
Were they there live and in person?
Or? They were. That's what's cool. Like a lot of indie publishers are there and in person, setting up their booths. Like you never see that many.
The Atomic Robo guy there was there too?
The which guy?
The Atomic Robo guy?
No.
I like how you're asking us.
Yeah.
Well,
we didn't go, Kevin.
Well, that's what I mean. Like I know the head guy wasn't there.
I figured that's where you picked up that hardcover.
Maybe it's one of the other guys that's part of the. You know what I mean? Like, I saw the main creative guys before in Toronto, I know. So I'm not sure if it's, like, the letterer or whatever, you know. One of the other people I don't know. Who runs their stuff? I don't really know.
I got to think of their size operation. there's a fair chance it's a pretty small crew.
Yeah.
So don't drown us with too much detail about TKF, Kevin.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like a few months later, I'm like, I'm not going to go on for like hours and hours. I don't know. It was a good show. I had a lot of fun. I was still running around with cosplaying with a cane, so that was interesting.
What was your character?
Pimp Kevin.
That was just me with a cane. Like, I could have been the Riddler or
Why, did you hurt your leg or something?
Yeah, like back in
told me that
back in Christmas. Like that's how far back it was.
Did you have to have the cane go through the weapon check and everything?
No, they're just like, you have a cane. Like, you're not gonna, you didn't, it wasn't a whole Kingpin situation where, oh wait, I can't make that reference anymore. You know where you put poison into the cane or a knife or something, and then you have a crystal ball on the top?
Oh, I want to know the reference you can't make anymore.
I don't have any other Kane references, guys.
Well,
who's an indie character you need that go back. Prominently has a Kane?
I was going to say, if you need more Kane references, you need to go back and read the original Clone Wars from the Spider-Man comics. You will find Kane was an important character.
Still not a reference. I thought you were going to go Star Wars or something with it. You were like Clone Wars, and I was already, Andrew. That's I'm like, always going to talk about Star Wars now.
And I was like, oh, no, Spider-Man.
There's the character named Kane. Yeah. That's his name.
His clone.
Never mind, Kevin. That's a Marvel comic. You're not in that headspace. So you had a cane, and you bought some mini comics from a Japanese guy. That about sum up the show?
I guess that's fairly accurate. Oh, yeah, and then I got, like... I wasn't going to buy any, like, posters and prints. But then, of course, you get one with, like, one of these Viz books. So then I was like, well, where am I going to put this? And then that was the challenge, like, the whole con, trying to keep this print poster thing from getting damaged because you got it for free. Condition.
Why didn't you wrap it around your cane?
That's true. That was a good idea.
Sadly, I did not think of that one, Andrew.
It's a really good idea. Con tip from Andrew.
Well, people said I could have made it a candy cane, you know, stuff like that. Oh, I got one of those, the case of Charles Dexter Ward, the Lovecraft Hobart, things. Maybe I have all of these now. I don't, because they only did what, four of them, maybe five.
I don't know. I've enjoyed all the ones I've read, but I don't know how many there are in toto.
Oh, I also got, which isn't super indie related, but I also got a Baron Zemo sketch, which I probably talked about 2 months ago on Marvel Noise, which was awesome.
All right, and that's TCAF 2018.
Indeed. Maybe there's a tradition of me trying to remember details a few months later, because that's where always the gap is.
Well, look, if you can't remember something, it couldn't have been that good an event. That's all I'm saying. Maybe those TCAF people need to think about that.
It's a good thing we don't report on cons when we podcast. Like with the press passes. Be useless.
It was free to get in. Did I mention that? That's why I always go to.
Yeah, your time is worth something, Kevin. Hypothetically.
Oh, jeez. So that's why you
now. One question though: do you find the show's getting better over the years, or is it going changing where you don't like it as much? Like, not necessarily a bad show, but is it staying the way you like it, or?
Yeah. Like I mean, I used to like when there was a panel of my preference at a bar where you can go drink and and enjoy stuff, but. I haven't been able to do that in a couple of years, so that's not really a good bad thing. It's just I would like to go drink and listen to someone talk about comics.
But I mean, more like, is the con evolving into a good con? Like, is it growing better, or do you find it's like losing things that you liked? Or
no, like I think
Fan Expo lost a lot of the booths I liked. So that's the appeal left for me a bit, you know.
Like, it's still a great show. Like, it's better than when in the way it was in the early years, when sometimes I would be like, oh, there wasn't enough stuff for me to buy, but it was still interesting. It's still good panels to go to, but I find I buy more nowadays than I did back then. Sometimes you just, there's so much there though, like you really got to have some kind of plan or really check everything out. And I don't partake in really in the video game stuff, so.
Well, they have this weird stuff.
Comics and game crossover that I think a lot of people would be interested in that I don't really go to. It's sort of a social event, too, so it's better when we have a big crew of people.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Andrew.
Take it away, Andrew.
Surprise us what you got.
All right, I've got a bunch of random crap. But let's go with a comic book I think Phil might have purchased from
Ginger Ideas. Dead Man?
How about a comic I think Phil would have purchased that I would actually be willing to...
Hey, you bought it last time. You don't you cop out. You bought it last time.
Yeah, and unlike you, Phil, when I get burned, I don't keep going back to the stove and
I got problems
putting my hands on it. Like, maybe the 100th time it'll be a better comic. No.
You never know.
This one's from a while ago because I forgot. Mm-hmm. Bubba Hotep.
Okay. I did get that. I'm going to be honest, though. I'm not a big fan of the movie.
Okay.
Did you know it was a movie?
Yes, I'd seen the movie. I like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, me too. And it's by the guy that did Phantasm. Was it? No. I don't remember.
I don't even remember the movie, except that he's in it for a hot minute. That's about it. But I was like, oh, you know, Elvis fighting bad guys.
Yeah.
Like demons and devils and stuff. And it's Joshua Chabkuga and Tad Galusha.
And kind of Danger Zone, right? If I remember correctly. Was it Danger Zone?
This was IDW.
Well, IDW. That's right, yeah.
So I just, and it's Elvis back in time and he doesn't get killed, but he's one of his job is to like hunt sort of the undead, you know, like a Hellboy or whatever, but it's with Elvis instead of Hellboy.
And in the movies, like in the retirement home and stuff.
And this one, he's younger, and so they put a team together. And, you know, Colonel Tom Parker is portrayed as a unfortunate bad man. And he's off fighting. It's called the Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, vampires and all that sort of fun stuff. I found the colorist is Ryan Hill. At least in the first issue, there's a lot of sort of predominant hues. So a sequence or panel have like a orangish kind of overwhelming flavor to it. Or a light blue or dark or something like that, which I thought worked a good effect. But I can see for some people it might have been a little... it's a little forward, if you know what I mean. Like, it really presents itself. So if you find that distracting, that's something to be aware of, but it didn't bother me any. So, Phil, did you read this book yet?
I did buy it, but I only flipped through it so far because I was thinking I wanted to watch the movie again, give it a second chance.
Oh.
And kind of fresh up on, the history of them, you know, and stuff.
If this memory serves, this doesn't, because this is like young Elvis, I don't think it's, I mean, the world is kind of the same, but it's not.
Yeah, it takes place connected. Before.
Yeah, to the world of all that. So, yeah. But if you like that sort of thing, I was like, I bet you Phil, this is sort of a Phil-like comic book. And I was right.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even though I wasn't big on the movie, I still picked it up because, like you say, I've got problems.
Well, it's not like Ginger Dead Man was your favorite movie of all time either.
No, I hated them. With the passion. That's true. Well, so I may love this comic.
So, you know, there's something to be said for that.
But you still subject yourself to getting comics I might like. It's a gamble.
Yeah, it is. But I also have some that I think Kevin would like. So, you know, it's a risk on both sides.
It's true. Mm. This is two gambles.
But yeah, so do you have, what have you got for us, Phil?
Well, I did find my new favorite comic of all time, or at least my, I would say in my top maybe 5 or 10. Have you guys ever heard of Norman?
Norman.
The golfer? By Stan Sillas, I think it is. It's by Titan Comics. Oh, I forget how old he is. It's been so long since I read these because I've been waiting for you guys forever. But it's basically Calvin and Hobbes, but it's a little kid and he's a serial killer.
Wasn't that, there another Calvin and Hobbes thing that what's it called?
Action Lab had the detective story that Phil liked too, I believe.
Oh yeah, that one was really good. Well, I'm just kind of like, when I say that, I mean more like the comic strip itself. Like it has that type of look and cartoon look and everything. And he has a little imaginary friend, Devil, that only he could see and everything. But basically, yeah, he's an 8-year-old and he's fascinated with being a serial killer and stuff. And it's just the humor of it. The love put into the artwork, like it's all detailed and the characters, the story, like everything is just amazing of it. Like it really like quickly became my favorite comic
of all time.
Possibly. Might be my favorite comic of all time. And there's two books and it's just him. Yeah. In school. And, it doesn't even focus on him a lot. It focuses on a lot of the other kids in the school and stuff. And it's just like, they're just the way they're drawn are really cute and stuff. And I think I talked about one issue, on the show once where, like I finally got the trades, but I only had like the single issue then, where it was a Christmas episode and his uncle got him a Jason mask. I think I talked about once, but yeah, after that I wanted to get these forever, but it took me a long time to actually get the books. But
and you said there are two trades from Titan Comics. And
yeah,
they're just called Norman.
Norman, yeah. The first one's called First Slash, and the second one's called Vengeance of Grace. But you got to make sure you get the right books if you do get it, because there's the two collected editions that have everything, and then there's two hardcovers that are only like 80 pages and have like some of the story, you know.
So go for the hardcover.
No, go for the trays that have a bigger page count. I think like 128 pages compared to the 80 page ones, which are the hardcovers.
Oh, so go for the soft cover.
Yeah, the soft covers, yeah, because it has everything.
That is weird. So do you think they're going to put the rest of it in hardcover? Or?
I don't think so, because I don't think enough people, like I don't know if a lot of people really know about this book or anything, because it's a Titan book, you know, and it's been out for a while now. Like this isn't a recent book that ended. But if you ever see it at a con, please pick up the first trade. I'm going to send you guys some artwork just so you can see what it looks like, too.
Cool.
I wish I remembered more of the story to tell you, but yeah, I just remember laughing my head off, like, every page.
I'm going to go back to Andrew's comment about it. If you can't remember...
If you can't remember...
Maybe he doesn't want to spoil it.
Or maybe it's because I waited months to do a podcast after a promise that was broken. And I have a bad memory. One of the two.
What about a hell fight, guys?
A hell fight? I like the sounds of
that's
that.
What I have. Hell fight number one.
Yes, you sent us... Did you send us whole thing? Or was that a sample of it?
That was just a sample. I thought the whole thing might be up. And I thought the other one... might be up, the wordless sci-fi one from the guy, same guy, Steve, is this Thewson? I guess so. Is that how you pronounce it?
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hellfight one is just a fight. Think of like Family Guy when Peter the would chicken. Fight that chicken yeah, over chicken. And over through the whole city, and they would do all these crazy antics.
So that's all this is just every cartoon is she's fighting the skeleton?
I'm not sure because this is the only one I have, and the comic is if you can call it a comic, is like the same. Well, I guess it's the width, around the width of a comic, but the height is like the size of a comic strip would be in like a newspaper or something.
So like a web comic style.
Yeah.
It's like a strip a day type of thing.
Yeah. This is basically just a massive fight.
And it's this woman against the skeleton, right?
Yeah, and it gets pretty violent with some of the stuff. Like, you might have someone's arm get ripped off, and then you put that arm through the skeleton's head, and then the skeleton's like trying to get the arm out of its eye socket if it breaks off, and you know, a lot of crazy things. And then someone breaks out a whistle, and they're like, "What's that whistle for?" And then a giant eagle or whatever comes in and swoops someone up, and then they just keep on fighting. I don't know, it's kind of interesting, kind of exciting.
And it looks like if you go to Steve_Thuesson on Twitter, Thuesson, he has a link to the things you sent. And some other comics too, it looks like.
Yeah, I have another one. I don't think I saw that whole lot of preview stuff, but I know there's some stuff tweeted out about it, about this Borsk, I guess you would say it is. It's a sci-fi, partly silent thing about this alien bounty hunter.
So did you just stumble across this at a show, or how did you find out about this guy?
I usually do a little research just to see how some of the stuff looks, because it's not hard to see people saying, "Hey, I'll be a TCAF." So you just run a TCAF search. Like, I find that's easier than going to the website and just viewing a guest list. Like, a guest list is great, but sometimes you want like a little more information, like what's the presentation and everything. So you can usually see people hawking their wares before the show, and you can see if something like sort of looks like it's your thing. So this, I think this was one of those things where I'm like, that looks cool, like a sci-fi thing. And there's that, like, this weird thing on the cover where I'm like, I can't tell at first if the guy was bald or if the guy was had a red afro. Because it's like a planet or a sun is the same color as his outfit is right behind him. But it's like red, pinkish clothing and colors inside, and then this bounty hunter goes to get this guy, and instead of him like getting this guy right away that he's bounty hunting, this guy like drops all these like relationship issues on this bounty hunter, and then the guy's like, oh yeah, that isn't good, and then they go on and on about it, and he's like, yeah, but I'm still here to get you since I'm a bounty hunter. So it's a kind of interesting. I think a lot of the stuff I bought is sort of like a secondary thing. Like, it's not just like pure sci-fi. Like, there's usually a secondary genre at play to give things a little more depth. But it's kind of a cool cartoony sci-fi story.
And is this so you can buy these different things? Because you sent us a link.
Yeah.
And he talks about updating it on his thing, on his website. I didn't know. So you have, but you have paper copies of this stuff, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's maybe a fourth or a third of the size of a comic. Like, it's like a mini comic with a couple staples in it. With one comic.
And it was a... And it was only $39.99 plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I like the sort of classic, those kind of elongated noses you see in the classic comics. they look like little fingers almost, and the stretched out limbs, and at least in the fight stuff, the characters are a little bit rubbery, which is nice. I mean, not unrealistically so, but it adds that motion and sense of movement, I feel like.
Yeah, like you can, some of the, like the expressions and details, I guess sort of like a cartoon where you would sort of exaggerate certain things to show what's going on. It's not super detailed.
Well, also the format doesn't lend itself, those kind of webcomic newspaper strip style, you don't have a lot of real estate necessarily to get your point across, so you got to focus on what's important. Unless it's Prince Valiant or something like that.
Yeah. Well, when you already have a mini comic and then you have like 11 panels on a page, yeah, not a lot of real estate there either. I'm always surprised at how many little panels they're doing. And then you get these comics that are so big and there's so few panels. It's just like total reversal.
Well, that's, speaking of lots of splash pages and everything, that's my comic I think Kevin is going to buy.
Whoa.
It feels like that. It just came out recently, Kevin. Do you have any guesses?
Oh, it can't be that one we already covered. Or did we cover that?
No, I mean it just
came
out.
No, we already covered that one. Splash pages. I don't know. What would that be?
It's from Image Comics. Joe Casey. Ulysses Farinas. It's the new Lieutenants of Metal.
I pre-ordered that.
Yeah.
Which I think seems, I mean, that when I saw that, I was like, I bet you this is a comic book that Kevin
would he picks up probably most Joe Casey, I think.
Yeah. Like the last two Joe Casey things, I don't think I picked up, but now it's funny that this one was coming out on like four issues. I'm like, that artist, and I'm like, Joe Casey,
yeah,
and they're goofing around. I'm like, I gotta get that. And then then there's another Joe Casey series coming out that looks interesting too. I'm like, I gotta get that one too.
Yeah, the art is Ulysses Farinas, and Melody Often is colors. So it's a new Lieutenants of Metal. So whenever they give their name, they always have like a giant splash page of like. In fact, it's like three pages. They don't do the tri-fold fold out, but it's like a double page splash, and then the metal is on the next page, because you know it's just too big to contain. But it's very over the top, where metal is in this. These metalhead guys are defending the world, and they have to defend against these monster trucks that turn into robots to destroy the city. So
this is the direction I continue to go in. Like, everyone seems to be headed in the dystopian, like, serious, grim, dark direction, and I'm like steering more and more into like that direction, which is kind of funny.
I don't know that I want to live in a world where giant monster trucks show up to destroy the city, but I guess if I had the new Lieutenants of Metal to defend me, I would feel better. It would be a safer world. But yeah, so the other thing I like is it's like a big first issue, so they have files on them. So, you know, you at the back, they're almost like, they only have two in the first issue, two of the characters, because the team is like five guys, but basically they have to rescue Steppenwolf, has gone into therapy to retire from. Yeah, like there's lots of dialogue where it's metal titles. Like at one point, the guy's like, it's 2 minutes to midnight. We to, you know, so there's all that.
That's stupid. No, that's something I can appreciate. The golden goose is on the loose, you know, Andrew?
Yeah, so you'll be running through and circling all the heavy metal lyrics disguised as dialogue in this.
That's sweet.
But, you know, it's like a over-the-top destruction. There's, like I said, a couple double-page spread, a double-page spread with an extra page added in.
So this and might be more two metal than a metal comic by another publisher.
Yes, this is might be more metal than the DC metal comics. But so in the back, they have coverage of the Mighty Krieg, who's the leader, and Spike, who's a panda bear. and they're both members of the New Lieutenants of Metal. And then the last bit is an interview or like a text piece by Joe Casey about him writing Youngblood, which I thought was the weirdest. I'm like, it was interesting, but I'm like, what does this have to do with this comic? It's like, basically it's an ad for the young, you know, the oversized collection, the Youngblood, you know, they have a hardcover and softcover and all that. So basically it's like a 5-page text piece / ad for the Youngblood.
See, I never read when didn't he read dialogue or redo some kind
of? He and Liefeld and
because
you pre-ordered this, Kevin, you'll get like a 5-page segment about him and Youngblood and what it meant to him and working with Rob and all this stuff.
That might be more interesting than the actual comic. I mean, the Youngblood comic, not the New Lieutenants.
It just made me laugh, and I'm like, when I got done, I was like, wait, so this was just like a fucking ad for you? But like you, I really like Joe Casey, so it's interesting because he talks about how Youngblood was important to him and his early work in comics and moving to L.A. and then getting to do Youngblood. And all. So it was interesting, but it was just funny that like I was expecting it to be sort of about the New Lieutenants of Metal and like working with the artist and ideas. But no, there's not really a lot of that in there. Yeah. Don't expect it to be a expose on that.
Yeah, he's kind of a fascinating guy.
Yeah, very cool. I met him because I had to get him to sign my Godland big hardcover. So, or wait, is that the... No, that's a joke. Yeah, I get all those New Action Men confused sometimes.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly with Joe Casey with...
Do you remember there used to be that like those columns? Remember when... when you couldn't make any money off of comic websites, but they did columns. It was like there was like a Matt Fraction column and a Joe Casey column and all those things. I used to read all those, and I'm like, wow, this is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I do enjoy. I mean, I was laughing, but I read that like it was like I find the history and people's perspective on comics interesting, so I did like it.
Or then, like, how their comics are changing, or they're, like, they're trying to deal with, like, getting older or something. But it's not like some, I don't know. Like, you know how some people, like, they approach things and you're like, oh, yeah, I can see how you did that, like, Spider-Man story where he has radioactive poisoning and he's dying. Like, it's not, like, that's not their approach to getting old or something. It's like some of these people... creative people just approach things in like a totally different way, and it's interesting. Like, well, this is why I decided to do a comic about this, because I want to deal with this, but it's not, you wouldn't necessarily know all the time.
No, for sure. And I enjoyed, like I said, because it gives his history with comics and all that. It's not just like Youngblood, but it just, that's the focus of it. So it made me laugh a little bit, because instead of being more about the current book. Well, like I said, I can read that stuff. I like people's perspective. I mean, he has an interesting perspective. Also, like, such success so quickly, too, is always interesting when people, like, I mean, I'm not going to say overnight, but pretty close to it, you know. They stumbled upon, quickly moved up the ladder, and then once the Ben 10 thing happened, it was... You know, good times all around.
Yeah, get the TV money.
Crazy. Yeah, I think I heard the... one of them was on Kevin Smith's interview show. Batman on Batman, I think. Or maybe his main show, and was talking about just all the craziness that comes with the Ben 10 and what a... You know, they have all these spin-offs and everything, and it's really quite a successful... Because I'm not into that world, I don't know much about it, but it's, if I'm to understand, it's quite the hit.
Well, it was around so long, didn't they relaunch it? So like they had like the older Ben 10 kid and like the younger kid, so you could get like the next cycle of kids or something. Like I've only seen the beginning of the original series.
Like I said, I haven't watched any of the shows or anything, but I'm impressed. But yeah, New Lieutenants of Metal. I think, Kevin, you'll get a kick out of it, I predict. I thought you might have already bought it, but I guess it's coming.
I think it's coming in my next shipment, so that's kind of cool.
And Phil, you said you bought it too? Or we're going to?
Oh, he's bored with us now.
And sorry, my mic was off. I said a lot of things. I did get it because the art really spoke to me.
They're doing another series that's, is it only the artist that's writing and drawing? For Dark Horse Comics, that was one of those little things in Dark Horse Presents with the Pokemon monsters.
I don't want to read about Pokemon.
Well, it's not like that's the easiest way for me to describe it. And I remember that being a good one shot from a few years ago, and now there's like a mini series of that. So I'm like, I guess I have to pick that up too.
Is there something by this artist I would know, maybe?
Wasn't it Amazing Forest?
I don't know that one.
I thought Steve talked about it. And then that Judge Dredd.
Did he do the Apocalypse?
Yeah, I think that was the one too.
Okay, that's where I recognized it. Okay, yeah, I like that guy. That's why it caught my eye, probably.
Yeah, good stuff.
Are you going to get more, Andrew?
If I end up at the store, I probably will. Or it might just, now that Kevin's told me it's just a limited series, it might make sense to just wait for it and get it in trade. It could make
a nice little trade, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was one of those Image series where you ordered the first issue and then you found out it was like 5 issues. I think I knew ahead of time what it was.
If you don't get the issue, though, Andrew, you're not going to get that text in the back.
Oh, sometimes they reprint that stuff, and depends if it does well enough, they'll give it like a nice collect. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not the $9.99 one, but like a nice. They might sometimes for some of these, especially with the more art forward ones, they do a nicer collection where they put all that stuff in and mm-hmm. put all the extra covers and stuff like that in and that sort of stuff. It looks like he had also did some Judge Dredd, perhaps.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I enjoyed
it. And regular show as well. Yeah,
I don't know that cartoon.
I don't know that cartoon either.
That's like an Adventure Time type cartoon, I think.
But, it's a good time. Coffee.
All in all, I figured, like I said, whenever I'm doing this show, and a lot of times I'm trying to find books I've bought that I think one of the two of you or Super Steve would have bought.
Well, that's my favorite when you do that.
It's kind of funny that Andrew has us pegged and he knew exactly what it's just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he usually gets it right. He's usually, I can't think of any time he was wrong.
Oh, that's pretty good.
All right, who wants, I mean, I have other stuff, but I don't want to hog the mic, so.
Well, I have To Know You're Alive, which has buildings burning in a possible foreign country because someone's looking at the news on their iPhone, some kind of device anyways, as this kid is running around in the background. So yeah, this is about the horrible life this person has raising their kid. I mean, that's not really what you're supposed to take away, but you know, kids can be challenging, so that's sort of like where this story begins. So this is by, did they talk about one of these? Or was that the other guy? So I have a bunch of comics by the same guy. This is D. McFazin. Anyways, I think he also did the next one I'm going to talk about that has no artist name on it. That has no title, too. That's what the email said, right?
Your email to us. It just said untitled and To Know You're Alive by Dakota. I don't know if you got his name right, or her name, but you have Dakota McFadzian.
Anyhow,
that sound right?
Yeah, I hope so. Anyhow, yeah, you sort of get into it with taking care of kids and, you know, the insecurities and everything to do with that, and then Phil's gonna be like, oh, how boring. But the thing is, they get into Mr. Rogers.
I'm already bored.
I'm with you, Phil. I don't care about kids. But I really like Mr. Rogers.
Well, I was going to say, do you care about Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, I'm a big Mr. Rogers fan. I love that show, man. I watch that all the time.
What about Mr. Rogers Meets Cthulhu?
Really?
I'm not sure. It's kind of ambiguous. But, do you remember when I told you about that other... I think it was Frontier from the Youth in Revolt, and it was about this weird story about this audiophile that did all this stuff and how it evolved, and then it changed all this stuff in the world, and like all this craziness went on. Well, this sort of reminded me about that, where you just take something simple where like, oh yeah, the kids like into watching Mr. Rogers, and then you get into, and then there was a day I discovered another Mr. Rogers thing. And then there was a time where YouTube had this Mr. Rogers where there was something in the background or there was no one there and we didn't know quite what we saw in this video. It could have been Mr. Rogers or it could have been something else. Like, weird stuff is going on, and that's pretty much the story around the other kid stuff and real life stuff. So, do you care about Mr. Rogers and Cthulhu?
Like, so it's not him fighting Cthulhu?
No, sadly not. That would have been awesome, too.
My money's on Mr. Rogers. He can't be beat.
I don't know.
Even
I
the great Cthulhu. I can't
picture what he would do.
There's not gonna be
got a... beaten by a steamboat, okay? So let's not...
There's not going to be a movie. It'll be Mr. Rogers v. Superman.
I thought you meant Cthulhu. No one wants to see another dreary Superman movie where he breaks Mr. Rogers' neck at the end.
What? Superman doesn't kill people?
He killed Zod.
Well, what else would you have done with him?
One guy. This is the problem. Superman kills one guy, and that's all anyone remembers. I'm like, this is the problem when you say it's only one time, and that's the only thing people remember. That changes your character. But anyways, Cthulhu would be the bad guy in that movie.
I would say when it's the introduction to that iteration of the character, it's fairly significant. It's not like it was the seventh Henry Cavill Superman movie. You know
what
I mean?
But Andrew, you have to wait till the second movie. That's when they're going to show you all the stuff you didn't see that you wanted to see in the first one. It's in the second movie.
Yeah, I don't have infinite money to spend on fanzines. And movie tickets, Kevin.
Anyhow, this was enjoyable.
Yeah, I like Mr. Rogers, so anything that's cool with Mr. Rogers is cool with me.
Oh, this is also around the same size of that other one. Like, it's like a quarter, a third. You know, a mini comic. I already posted pictures of these up on our sites already, if anyone wants to see what these look like.
Wow, we're getting very multimedia in our old age.
I know. I had to do something to keep myself busy.
I caught up on a few things. Are you reading the newest miniseries, Kevin, of Black Hammer, Age of Doom?
I'm still behind on Black Hammer, sadly.
Okay, because right now they had three issues of Age of Doom, and you're getting all the answers now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I recommend catching up, because so I've read the first 13 issues, the giant size, and then now the first three issues of this, and I got all the minis that I didn't know about that you guys told me about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I have the Dr. Frankenstein mini. I haven't read it yet, though, and...
The Starman one.
Yeah, Dr. Star. And then the new one, Quantumage, which is in the future.
Yeah. Isn't that like a Legion of Superheroes type of...
Yeah, it's all the people in the future that took up their mantle. Yeah, that's the thing. All these are pretty much DC characters. Which I love, yeah.
I know, it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Jeff Lemire doesn't have access to any DC. Oh, wait a second.
Well, he's always been pretty outspoken about how those have always been the characters he's loved, right?
Yeah. I think you can tell that.
And he's doing a great job. Like, I'm just loving this comic. And like I say, there's no fighting or anything like that, really. But, yeah, this... how far have you read, Kevin? Because I don't want to ruin anything for you.
Oh, what was it? The first maybe 8 issues?
Okay, so yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not going to talk about much then because, yeah, you haven't seen much yet.
Yeah.
And I also caught up on Vamplade because I only ever read the first season, and they're on season 3 now. So, yeah, I read the second season, which wasn't that great, but around halfway through or near the end, everyone on her world, all her friends and family end up getting killed off. And it kind of picked up for me a bit then. And then the third season, it's like there, it turns out there was like a Green Lantern corpse of Vamplades. And she ends up getting stuck in an alternate universe in her past when she first becomes Vamplade. So now there's two of them. And I'm kind of digging it again. Like, it's fun seeing some of the events from the first season I loved so much going on again. Like, the ones you, Andrew, read, like, it's the only stuff I love is the stuff before that.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It just has like an awesome tone to it. After that and up to now, it's just not as good. But yeah, the third season seems to be getting a bit more into that territory again, that like why I loved it so much. So that's been fun. And I didn't read it yet, but I picked up Ninja Turtles Urban Legends, which is my favorite Ninja Turtles run.
That's that weird run, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one Eric Larson was involved with, and his characters were in it. It was the Image one, but now they the IDW is releasing it in color.
I thought they were supposed to, like, it didn't finish, did it?
I don't remember. I have them all, but yeah, I don't think it ended.
Yeah, yeah, like, I thought they were supposed to put an ending or something.
But if I remember correctly, I have like 22 issues or 21 issues or something. So it did go for a bit.
Yeah.
And flipping through like the color versions, it I like it in color. It looked awesome in black and white too. And this one, the thing I liked about this one is, you guys don't care about spoilers, I'm sure.
Well, is it the comic from quite a long time?
It's fairly obscure for a Turtles comic, I think.
Yeah, I liked it because it was how like just all these bad things started happening to the Turtles. Like Donatello, within the first couple issues, he like falls from a big height. And his shell cracks. He's basically like crippled, like squished a bit, you know, and stuff. So he ends up becoming a robot, kind of. And Shredder dies, and Raphael ends up becoming the new Shredder. Michelangelo's dating Horde from the Savage Dragon comics, you know, Freak Force, you know, the orange spiky one. And I forget if anything happens to Leonardo or not. But yeah, but I just remember really liking it. Also because I was a big Savage Dragon fan, so I don't know if it's going to hold up for me at all.
Yeah.
Like if at the time, maybe it was just that shocking stuff that was happening to them, you know, that got me into it. So I'm curious to read it again.
Cartoon kind of reminds me of more of an urban legend. Like I haven't seen it, so it's hard to say. Just, you know, seeing some of the stuff
that happened to it. Oh, okay. That has me interesting. Why did bad stuff happen in the minute? Kind
of. No, it just in the sense that it looks different and they're gonna do different stuff. Like it probably won't match that tone. Like it'll probably be more like Teen Titans Go and like that. But yeah, it just looks different than anything else.
And yeah, other than that, also Rick and Morty, that's still going strong. I'm loving that still. But yeah, it was mostly just a lot of catching up for me.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, Phil, I came around on the cartoon.
Oh, you did?
I was watching it? Yeah, it was on, like, it was just streaming. Like, they were just looping whole seasons. And so it was one of those ones that watching it, like, kind of watching a lot of it helped run it down, where when I watched one episode on its own, it didn't have the same je ne sais quoi that watching, like, a whole bunch of them sort of did. It was interesting. I liked it.
Well, I've only seen the first season, but I love the comic to death. Like it's
well, I think
it's
on the top of my list. The other two seasons were streaming on either YouTube or Cartoon Network or Adults somewhere.
Yeah.
And as everyone knows, I'm gross and incompetent with the computer. So
in Canada, if it's on one of those American channels, we don't get to watch it.
No, I'm pretty sure it's on Teletoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's Teletoon? That's a website?
Those were those things for children, and they have televisions in their stomach, and they have weird names like Tink Tink and
No,
Wink,
no
I remember Wink. That.
It was, no, yeah. Like some of those shows used to be on like premium Canadian channels, but I think they've moved to like regular cable by now too. So
I don't,
since it became popular.
I don't use any cable or TV or any of that stuff. I just use a computer or streaming.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
These days.
But I think it became popular enough that they started throwing it around. So it's not like, I don't know, what's some show that's, I don't know. I'm trying to, because I kind of like, we have Cartoon Network in Canada, but it was kind of like no point in keeping up with that because they didn't really have any original content. And I get Disney XD, which kind of serves a whole other thing. Multiple areas that I watch multiple things from, so there's no point in even subscribing to something like Cartoon Network.
Well, Disney XD, is that a streaming thing?
It's a channel.
Oh. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Basically.
Because they have their new streaming coming out next year, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that. Yeah. Disney XD is basically like their sort of cartoon boys pitch level, so it's going to have the Star Wars stuff was on there, the Spider-Man, the Guardians of the Galaxy,
the DuckTales.
I don't like the new DuckTales.
I hear it's great, but I haven't seen it.
Really? I don't know. I'm too in love with the old stuff, I guess. It's too much of it. It's the animation, I think, that bugs me a bit.
It's weird that everyone's watching, like, I'm usually more the cartoon guy, I guess. In a way.
Well, there's cartoons I like. I just don't watch a lot of the new ones.
Yeah.
Like, but there's a lot of old ones I love.
But then it's funny that I've never seen like any Rick and Morty, so I don't know. Maybe at some point.
Like that one I like, and there was another one. I forget what it was, but it was like in an office they worked, and there it was like a fantasy mixed with our world, something Americans. That was another cartoon I loved. I forget what it was.
A cartoon in an office. That's not selling me.
Well, it was these guys that worked in an office. One was a wizard. One was a normal guy. And he was like dating the devil's daughter.
What?
It was like Real Americans or something like that. I forget what it was. But
Ugly Americans?
Oh, Ugly Americans. That's it. Yeah, I love that one too.
It must have been a while back.
Yeah, it was 5 years ago maybe or something.
Yeah.
But they do seem to be bringing back a lot of old ones, like Young Justice, Teen Titans Go now, for example, like on Netflix and stuff. Like they seem to be.
Yeah, or everyone wants you to pay for their own streaming service, so then they have like, hey, here's this show.
Yeah, DC is starting us. I don't know if you saw Phil, but DC's also doing a streaming.
Oh wow!
They're gonna put their cartoons and some of the. They have some new live action that's only gonna be on.
Yeah, and then you go there, and it says not available in Canada, and then you're like, well, so much for that.
Fuck. Yeah.
I know, I'm like, CBS didn't care. They're like, yeah, we want you to watch Star Trek. You can even sign up. We don't care. And it's like every other service, it's like, no, that's okay. It's like, what the? I don't get it.
Well, that's like Netflix only got to Australia, I think, like a year or two ago, didn't it?
So weird.
So, yeah. So I guess it's just a slow process,
Wasn't it just in time for, like, the Marvel stuff? Like, as soon as the Marvel stuff hit, it's like, we're in Australia. Like, that was the tipping point.
There might also be different regulations or whatever.
Oh, probably.
The content in each one. I don't. And they got Australia, while it's super awesome, doesn't have a ton of people in it, so they might not have prioritized it in the right.
Well, yeah. It is the island that Arrow came from, so... You know,
I don't know what any of that means.
Kangaroos and the deadliest animals in the world. How about that? Does that work for you? You don't want to go kickboxing a kangaroo.
No, if Bugs Bunny cartoons taught me anything, it's that boxing kangaroos.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite Bugs Bunny cartoon when I was young.
All right, we need to. That Comics. Was a nice little summary. Phil, do you guys want me to guess more comics I think you might buy or
absolutely.
Do something different?
You want me to talk about a comic?
Oh, go ahead, Kevin. Sure.
No, because I remember I said that I have an untitled one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this has how many? Like 24 panels per page sometimes, or 20. Something like that.
Picture is this that. Also, this is this still the Dakota?
Yeah.
The same guy, the same person? Okay.
This is the serial monster, I guess, with a crazy cat clock that eyeballs people, and it keeps on zooming in the eyeballs as they go back and forth. Think of, like, in Hellboy, remember they kept on zooming in on the frogs or the toads, and they were, like, the scariest thing ever? And you didn't know why until years later? Sort of like that.
Yeah, I didn't think this was that scary.
But yeah, this is a serial mascot that you're like, okay, the serial mascot's coming alive, coming out of the closet, and coming to kill people, potentially.
But I do like the, you know, 32 panel pages.
I know. And then they're like going to the supermarket, and it's like, that cereal's there. And then they're like, this kid's in the car, starts sweating. Not quite Ditko sweat, though. That would have been nice. And then the kid's looking out the window, and then, like, that crazy bear mascot is, like, popping out of the top of a car, looking at the kid, and the kid's, like, freaking out again under the covers, going, oh, man, I gotta get rid of this thing. And then pretty much, like, tries to kill this thing, but it's still around. And on, pretty much. And then they're like grown up. This thing still shows up. They run away. You just gotta get away. Is what I'm like a lot of severe paranoia. Someone scratching themselves, then that like they get a pimple in the shape of this bear. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But lots of panels. And a lot of weird. Yes.
Lots of panels, which I approve of.
And then there's even one double page spread where it's just like millions of those things like coming out of the eyeballs of the bear and everything, and it looks like the heads of the bear have been planted. And then there's a cave, and like the stalactites are like the teeth from the bear. Creepy stuff. Paranoid stuff. Stuff to make you lose your mind.
But Andrew said it wasn't very scary. And I looked at it, and it looks too cute to be scary.
I think it's because the characters are slowly going insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cumulative effect of insanity. Also, the panels add to the crazy claustrophobia of the bear and the clock. I don't want to discount the clock too. And then there's like that scene where it looks like those bears are absorbing people or like just sort of like melting and spreading and taking hold of the city. Do you remember that episode of the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon where this black blob, they would just keep on fast forwarding and rewinding this black ink coming over the city? It's sort of like that with these bears.
I know, I could picture what you mean.
Yeah. I'm like, they must have saved a lot of money because you saw like Spider-Man swing by and then like this black blob go all over mailbox, then Spider-Man swings by and then it's off the mailbox, then it comes back on in the mailbox again. I guess it's a different mailbox, but
No, it's not. I love that cartoon, but
yeah,
they were cutting corners where possible.
Well, it sort of reminds me of that type of thing too. Anyways, yeah. Andrew, we're gonna try to guess what comic again.
Oh yeah.
Well, I figure you said something we should take a minute and, Steve Ditko passed away recently.
I wanted someone to check on you.
Long-time listeners know I'm back in those Kickstarters and everything. And the last Kickstarter funded, and I think it funded like right around when he must have passed away. And there might be some more material left, you know, that hadn't been put out, but it's just kind of, you know, sort of a reflective moment of a guy yeah. that had a big impact and for some of us continued to make comics right up to the very end. And comics I really enjoyed. As everyone knows, I've talked about various ones of them. And
yep.
no doubt I look forward to getting the new ones too. But yeah, it was just, I thought we should say something for a man that, you know, for me personally, was instrumental in getting me to read comics. I was not a kid that read a lot. And those old, I had a little paperback of them old Spider-Man books. And they really sparked something in me and got me into reading. And the rest, as they say, is history. But just wanted to, you know, say, hear, hear to Steve Ditko.
I think it's cool you can do it, like, as a genre. Or they say, like, Kirby as a genre. You can totally do, like, Ditko as a genre and do a comic. Like, people know what you're talking about when you say that. Like, he wasn't accessible, but you knew what kind of guy he was. And sometimes when you're reading stories, you're like, okay, I know the creator and how they are. And you're like, you're like reading the character, and you're like, are they writing the character like the character, or is this them? But sometimes they sort of overlap. See, sometimes people can come away with different views on stuff like that.
Yeah, and he could just, and at a minimum, the storytelling was always, he not only created these worlds, but the action was always clear, the flow was great. I think a lot of people have talked about how you could just feel he really was unique in a way, not that he didn't have influences or whatever, but his books, whether they be the Charlton, Marvel, DC, or his own self-published stuff, really had a cohesive feel to them and transported you. And in a way, are sort of what I think of when I think of comic books, particularly the fantastical realms he could do, down to the sort of gritty, sweaty guy on the street corner. Like, he could inhabit both realms. And I also like the fact that he had all them dudes wearing hats and fancy suits yeah. and everything. I don't need to see a bunch of guys in t-shirts and all that crap.
I don't think everyone knew about his later stuff, too. Like, I was listening to a podcast, and while they knew... Well, because this podcast is also by, like, comic shop employees, but, like, they know he's a legend and everything like that, but they didn't necessarily, like, know... Like, he just kept on making stuff, even if it wasn't, like, out there. Like, he didn't know, like, his history, like, Fantagraphics, and then onward, as he kept on making stuff.
And even, I remember in my youth, that 80s stuff he used to do for Marvel, that Squirrel Girl and all that stuff, I liked it just fine. I mean, not everything has to be a end statement. You can just make good comics that are fun to read. And come on, Squirrel, look how big Squirrel Girl is now, people.
Yeah.
People left that. They talked Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, but where's Speedball? Where's Streaky? where's Squirrel Girl? And Creeper, you know, obviously a lot of work for the Hawk and Dove. You know, some interesting distinguished competition work as well.
What about some Valiant? He was in there, and too.
And I believe he did a couple issues of Defiant.
Yeah.
Right at the end. So, you know, worked for a lot of different people. And just, you know, like I said, I'm sad, but in some ways it's like, obviously he lasted a long time. So it's not like he was taken in the prime of youth or anything. But still, it just made me a little sad. I always like knowing, you know, there'd be another Kickstarter coming with some new stuff out of the guy. I had deliberated writing him, as so many people have done, but at the end of the day I decided, you know what, I don't want to bother the guy. It seems like he wants to be left alone, and maybe that's the best thing I can do is just not razz him. I never liked those people that were always trying to get some sort of rise out of him or razz him or go to his house or whatever. It always seemed like a dude wants to be left alone. Like, what's wrong with that? In fact, isn't that refreshing in today's, you know, celebrity-obsessed culture? Man, this is getting maudlin and down me. Okay, what, Steve Ditko, awesome dude. Keep on rocking in the free world. What comic do you guys think? I have a couple that I have that I think would be up your alleys.
Is it a new comic?
I have two. One is very new, the other is almost very new.
Is it an Image comic?
I have an Image, one of them. The new one, the newest one is an Image comic.
I don't think it's that Weatherman one. Death or Glory?
Phil, do you have any guesses? You have to turn your mic back on, Phil.
Sorry, it's when I light my smokeable, I shut it off so you don't hear it. Farmhand?
Yes.
Ding, wow. Ding, ding. Wow.
I knew Rob Guillory's farmhand would be.
That's the Chew guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys, Kevin, I should say.
I thought Kevin would be into it as well, but yeah. I knew one of the two of you because Chew was the
Well, he's a big fan of Chew, too, yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't pre-order, but I grabbed one.
So this is Rob Guillory and the artist from Chew, and he's going back to writing and drawing this time. But he has Taylor Wells on color. And Farmhand was it's a set in kind of the near future where a gentleman has the idea that you combine stem cells with growing and bonding with plants so he can grow new body parts for people. But it's done with like a pitch, like an organic type farm. And he's an older farmer, and it's the story of him reconciling with his son. They had a falling out. But unbeknownst to the son, when they reconcile with his grandkids and everything, on the side plot, there's like industrial sabotage done by, I don't know if it's from the government agents or from other people spying or whatever. So there's a whole really dark underbelly underpinning the thing as well. And I thought it was really nice having both those tracks of like this, you know, family getting back together combined with the granddad's a serious badass and has a bad security force and is up to some shenanigans. And he's going to keep that, of course, separate from his son because he's trying to reconcile with the son. So I thought that was a good premise. You know, if you know what Chew looks like, you know what Rob Guillory's work is like.
And I feel if you're missing Chew, this will make you feel good again. You know, this will fill in that hole.
Yeah, it's not quite the same frenetic pacing.
Not at all, but it's just it gave me that it gave me what I was missing with Chew not being around a bit.
But yeah, I was impressed. I'm like, I think it's hard to execute first issues because I have a whole another stack of first issues where I feel they failed in various points. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say this one, and look, a lot of these elements, like I don't really like the fact that the son has a bunch of little kids and all that is not a storyline I care about.
God, you hate kids.
But it worked out well. You know what I mean? It's just an element to the, it's not the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea looks really well. You know, it just is it's a visually interesting idea about growing the body parts. I think that plays well for comics, you know. It's like a cool, and it's sort of horror, but it's not real, like it's not done as horrific as you'd think. I don't know, just like a clever idea.
Maybe it's more some of the imagery gives it a bit of a horror tone, but not in a scary or creepy way really, but like the cover with all the hands coming out of the ground.
But I don't know if you could do horror a certain way with his style. Like, it's probably easier to look at with the way he draws than if it was someone else.
And I think the colors are really, really nice because they shift around. So there's a lot of bright, like during the day, They go for bright contrast and colors, which I like.
Yeah.
I mean, the night, it's fine to have moody, you know, he has a dream sequence and everything. Yeah, that was the only part where it starts with a dream. And
well, that's like, that's the only night part pretty much until the end.
Yeah, that part I thought, and hey, if you're going to put the slow stuff, put it in the beginning. That's the way to do it. But I thought it ended strong. I was very interested in who these antagonists to the granddad are. Are the government agents? Are they a corporate spy? Like, I don't know. It was a fun setup. Interesting. Yeah. You get enough
great cover. I love the cover.
I got the one where he's just watering the hands.
Yeah, that's what I got too.
I know these books always have like 100 different covers, so.
Yeah, did Image ever address that? Like, remember they were all anti-variant cover, and this is killing the industry, and at some point they just, like, turned the switch, and now they're like, that's cool.
All right, give Kevin a clue for his. Another clue.
Well, I thought that was for both of you. Like, I thought Kevin would have been on with Farmhand.
Oh, you meant that was for both of us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought.
For sure, too.
Because I'm like, oh, it's got that Chew thing. You guys both like Chew. I thought maybe it'll be a little too horror for Kevin. But
no, I think he can handle it because it's no worse than Chew was.
No.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, you could see how the pitch could have been taken in a different way.
Yeah, or the cover maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could have been gone a different way. Okay. Now, I have an Oni book and a Dynamite book.
I've read a lot of Dynamite lately.
Okay.
But I've also read, I bet you I have the other one too. You got to do both now. Because I got to know what the other one is.
All right. Well,
go Dynamite, because I feel like Dynamite's getting a little better.
Okay, I got the new Vampirella Roses for the Dead number one issue.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Andy strikes out.
Yeah, I didn't see it. But that's just, I probably would have picked up if I saw it, though, but yeah, I didn't notice it.
This is Christina Deke Linzer, Joseph Michael Linzer, and it seems to tie into, there's this other character in here. I'm not there's a witch character that she's interacting with.
Okay.
It starts out traditionally, you know how they always end up fighting each other, but I don't know if the witch character is someone that's...
I don't recognize a witch character from what I've read ever.
Okay. So I didn't know if that was like some character that we're supposed to know. Because as you guys know, I've read some Vampirella, but I am not.
Because a lot of, sometimes her comics will start off with like her in the middle of a mission. Is that what it is?
That's the end of it?
Yeah.
This kind of starts off, basically Vampirella goes to this bar and she's targeting this creepy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so's the witch. So when they both go to get the guy in the alley, the witch and Vampirella end up fighting each other and the bad guy gets away. And then afterwards they're like, I was trying to get that creep. And then the witch figures out that Vampirella's a vampire. But then Vampirella's like, look, I'm not like regular vampires. I'm from the planet Draculon.
Witch is good.
Yeah. Well, okay. She's wants revenge on this bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how bad she is. But yeah, so the two of them, and she's like young and attractive. She's not like a witch, like.
Now, is this an actual Vampirella book or a crossover book?
It's Vampirella Roses for the Dead, number one.
Because she does so many crossovers these days.
Yes.
It's insane.
That's why I wasn't sure if this, like I said, if these characters were characters that everyone's like, oh my God, this late, you know, like, I'm so glad to see these two finally teamed up. Mm-hmm. Or if they're like, no, this is just some regular one, but I got the regular. I love that they had like a million characters. I just got the artist regular A cover, but they had, you know, Mike Mayhew did a cover. They have the blank cover, of course, the Billy Tucci, like just lots of fun. Because, you know, why wouldn't you want to have 100 different covers?
Yeah.
It's Dynamite. You got to keep up. But I like that they show you all of them in the back of the book. It's good too.
But I find I've been, reading more Dynamite lately. Like I've been hard on them in the past, but I find they're, like, I'm enjoying more comics than I used to.
And if it matters either way to you, Vampirella is in her classic red bathing suit outfit.
Yeah, she's mostly in that all the time again. They seem to be getting rid of the pants again.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. Because I know they flip around her all the time.
A character like that, like, as it's kind of dumb she wears a bathing suit, but you really got to keep that look, I think, you know. You can't get rid of it too much to keep that character intact.
The witch's name is Evely?
Yeah, like, I don't recognize
with
that.
With a Y? No. Mm-hmm.
Like not Evelyn from He-Man? That would be awesome.
So she's like red-haired and she wears like a druid's cloak with like a big pentagram necklace, like a big, like Flava Flav style pentagram necklace on it. So yeah, so it was
typical.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, well, this is like a fun. The problem with the Dynamite books, and I think I've remarked on this, I really don't like how they back end all the ads.
Okay.
So you
I prefer that. Like,
oh, I prefer to break it up because otherwise.
Then I can just skip them, you know.
Like I feel like when I get to the end, I'm like, oh, there should be more comic book left, and there's
I can
more comic book left, Andy. They're done. They're all gone. But yeah, so Witch Evely. Like I said, not sure if she's a character, but it was fun. Like Vampirella, I liked it when it's not, like, I like a lot of action in it, so you're not bogged down in, you know, what's she all about or whatever. Like, it's not meant to be a heavy think piece, in my opinion. It's meant to go, 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 push through. It's a crazy vampire lady in a bathing suit taking on bad guys. Okay, so this one, I think, might be up both your alleys, the Oni book.
I just picked one up recently, if it's a newer one.
It is.
Okay.
Do you want to, do you remember?
I don't remember what it was, though.
Do you want some hints on the creatives?
Yes.
Or Cullen Bunn?
Yes, I've definitely read it.
Shadow Rhodes. Place after the
Six Gun.
Six Gun.
Yeah, damn right I got that.
So I figured Brian Hurt, Cullen Bunn. I did not know it was a Six Gun tie-in.
You know, the hilarious thing is I still haven't read the last two issues of Six Gun because there's such a huge gap in between.
I haven't read the last trade yet because, you know when you get to an end of the story and you just hold on to that last trade forever?
Yeah,
I'm kind of doing that with Six Gun right now.
So I picked this up and I liked it. I thought it was good.
Even though you haven't read Six Gun? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sets up the table very well because, you know, it's the crossroads.
Yeah.
And these two characters, the character, he's been anglicized, but it's a Native American guy from England who's visiting England. And he gets this weird dagger handed to him. And the dagger ends up having magical properties. And then he heads out west. And the first one's about assembling the team. So there's all these, and they're going to the crossroads, which is through this tunnel on a train. So they all end up, you know, how these putting the team together. So some of these characters may be from the Six Gun itself.
Yeah, I only flipped through it so far because, like I say, I want to read the last trade. But the guy with the beard, with the hat there, the black hat, I think he wears that.
Oh, so that character, yeah.
Yeah, and I forget his name.
There's a Isabella O'Dooley, Wildflower of Mexico. I don't know if she's a character that's been there.
No one's a robot, right?
Well, this peak, I don't know. There's a Chesapeake Chester Smith.
Is he I think I recognize all those names, so I feel like those are all characters that were in it.
Yeah, and then there's Miss Redmayne.
That I don't.
And Cal Fu. A big guy.
So
this guy ends up, you know, dealing with vampires and all these crazy mystical bad guys, and the dagger of course comes in handy, and it's basically putting this big team together. But it's a fun, like, I'm not a big Western guy, but when you add magic or super, like, when you add something to it, it's more my cup of tea.
Well, Cullen Bunn I find is kind of hit and miss with me these days, but the Six Gun, oh man, I love. He's really good at with the supernatural Western, I find. I had a lot of fun with that book.
Well, yeah, so, look at Andy. Yes and no, except for Vampirella.
You're spot on. Yeah, Vampirella mini, it's hit and miss for me, for sure. I don't necessarily pick all the minis up.
Wow.
Depending what it is.
I'm shocked, Phil. I thought you picked up all of everything.
Close.
I got one more.
Give it to me.
Magical Beatdown.
You sent me, the version you sent me was from Gallery Nucleus, which is here in town. I've been there.
Yeah, how about that?
What's that?
It's a sort of a comic shop, more of an art gallery. Okay. In fact, this last weekend, Tula Lote had a exhibit. So there's some comics, but not very much Marvel and DC type stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot more like, I mean, there's some of that. It's not like there's none, but they have like a gallery space behind it. So a small store, but back. So whatever exhibit's on, they'll have hanging there. And they have a smaller gallery upstairs. So it's a place to get a lot of prints and art books and zines and these little collections like the one Kevin sent. So that's why, and I've bought a few things. I think I've talked about one or two of the things I've bought there. I don't get there that often. It's not super close.
Mm-hmm.
So, but because we have a lot of people in town that work in animation, a lot of those guys will do shows there. Or like, I think Andy Park, the guy that does the Marvel art director, like his book, so the art of Black Panther or whatever, they'll do a exhibit there and have a book signing and all that. Or when the new animated, you know, the Incredibles book comes out or whatever it is, they'll, a lot of those guys will do their show at Gallery Nucleus in Alhambra, mm-hmm. that type of thing. I mean, it's very nice. It's just that stuff tends to get a little pricey if you're not careful.
Yeah.
You know, because those can be expensive prints and things like limited edition and that sort of thing. Anyways, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Magical Beatdown, Kevin.
By Jen Woodall. I just thought it was an interesting process with this comic. Because I didn't even know like the entire process. I think there was a panel, too, at TCAF about doing your comics with this risograph style where I guess it's more environmental, where you have like soy ink and you're using a specific printer to give these like fluorescent colors to your comic.
Give me a break. Soy ink.
I was reading also, up on it.
Do those things hold up as better, worse, whatever than the new paper and or crappy newsprint?
Well, these are on, I wouldn't say like Marvel stock, or I would say this is better than regular comic stock paper.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty thick. Like there's a tooth to it, but it's not like newsprinty.
In the picture, the like link you send, it looks newsprinty. I'm surprised.
Yeah. And there's like multiple layers of stuff when you're doing it, and it definitely looks like there's a certain look to it that I think you could pick this out if someone was using this type of printer. Like, it's very distinct, and it gets very, very pink with many different shades in here, which makes sense because it's a revenge story, although a violent revenge story, and which is funny because it's also sort of like a take on, I guess the easiest thing to compare it to would be like Sailor Moon.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Sailor Moon mixed with what's that Tarantino movie?
Kill Bill.
Yeah,
Kill Bill.
So it's very interesting in that way, because I have the second volume. Apparently there was a first volume too, where like these guys in this gang were getting killed off, and then they're just like, oh yeah, we wanna meet you in a park and you know, probably do horrible things, right? But and then they're all like, oh, I can't believe it's a girl and all that type of stuff. And then she basically, yeah, gets revenge on them and horribly kills them as a Sailor Moon character. And they're like, whoa, like girls aren't supposed to talk like that, and all the, you know, all the usual tropes like that. But between the printing and the story and everything, I thought it was pretty interesting. And I would definitely buy more. And more comics in this style, too.
Well, it looked like She has some more there.
Well, I know there's the two volumes right now.
Well, it looks, I thought I saw when I was looking through it that some other work she's done.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I notice a lot of people are not scared to use, well, even I guess there's even some comics at the big two where you have the, like the bright purples or pinks and stuff like that. And I think some comics usually tried to stay away from stuff like that. And now people are just like, whatever, just use whatever, right? Whatever looks good. Use your imagination. From Silver Sprocket, they were at TCAF. They had some cool stuff. And it's funny, they have a quote on the back here, and it says, "That young girl has no morals," by older woman after flipping through volume one. So that's all I got.
It's good. You did good today, Kevin.
I know. That's because I had some stuff left over from last time that I had to reread.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be as long between shows. Who knows?
You too, Andrew. You banged out like 6 books.
Well, it's not a competition that way, Phil, but thank you. And thanks, the listener, for tuning in. And like I said, hopefully we'll not be as slow in getting more of these out. We were doing pretty good.
Is that a promise?
No.
It's not a promise this time?
I still don't even have a computer that I know works. So.
Yeah. Better not make a promise this time, for sure.
But, yeah. If you guys have any sign-offs you've patented over the years, let me have them.
I'm always quiet at the end.
All right. And that's Indie Comic Book Noise.
Lacerations all over his body. The gunshot, of course, is most likely, but it doesn't factor in the markings we found on the nape of his neck. Almost as though someone tried to sever his spinal cord with a shovel. Just deep enough to do real damage, but not fatal. Until you factor in what could have been stab wounds near where his kidneys should have been. Oh, they were removed, those kidneys, and not surgically either. Some sick bastard. He was possibly in a lot of pain. Like all my life, I've been living underwater. In a snap, just like that, I can say goodbye to order. Your advice, great advice, but I took it for the surface. Now you're gone, all my faults, cause I know I could have stopped it. I should have stopped it, but no, I didn't think at all. I ignored the call. Now it's too late, I understand. It's too late, now I finally see. Responsibility. Almost like he was hit by a conversion van, the kind that have high bumpers. This still doesn't explain the ligaments in his kneecaps. Ferrets have a disposition for eating those ligaments. But it's unlikely that someone loosed ferrets on your uncle. It's most probable the gunshot was a mortal blow. Still puzzling. Especially when you factor in the razor marks found around his nipples. What to do, where to go? Every second feels a minute. All alone, sense of home has vanished out the window. One wrong choice, you're not there. And it only took a moment, isn't fair. Nothing's fair, why did I let it happen? How could I let it happen? But no, I didn't think at all. I ignored the call. Now it's too late, I understand. One of the more deadly strains of the herpes virus. We couldn't come to any conclusions about it, unfortunately, but the muscle deterioration is consistent with what we would expect from a mummy attack. However, based on the current status, the gunshot is our strongest theory. Now, Aunt May, if you'll follow me over here, this way, from this floor right here.
Somebody save my baby.
Help, this building's on fire.
I think
think someone shot the mayor.
There's a bomb on the bus. 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 There's a bomb. How could I have been so blind to what the city really needs? Like I was closing off my mind to the city's mighty heat. I will shoulder this burden as long as I can. Be the hero I was made.